I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is the noon hour, and you know what that means? It's lunchtime here on the Adam Carriker Show on The Ticket. It's sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way. Right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of rib, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. All right, Andy sent me another text. Nate Borkisher. I want to use our tight ends more, by the way, randomly out of nowhere.
They weren't targeted this past week, were they?
I'd like to see them get the ball more in general. But hey, what we did last week worked too. So let's keep doing more of that. But yeah, Nate Borkisher is another fair one. I just think of that game-winning catch he had up in South Bend against Notre Dame. But wish him nothing but the best. Original walk-on, right?
I think so, yeah.
Dude, I always have a special place in my heart for walk-ons, even if they're playing for another university. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I made a couple of notes during the break. Now, you mentioned that one person asked, how do I phrase this? Maybe a little skepticism about how much money we actually have, you know? I'm going off what he's telling us. For me, I'm just going off what he's saying. Like, I basically have said what he said at the press conference. It seems genuine. He seems excited. We'll see what actually happens. He was asked about the defensive line specifically and if they're going to, you know, bring in some new defensive linemen throughout the portal. He doesn't ever directly answer the question. That's when he talks about the ability to retain players and young players. At the very end, he says they're going to basically keep adding players, but he's not specifically talking about the D-line, but it was at the end of a longer answer, which originally started towards the D-line. So I can't help but wonder if it was his way of answering, but kind of like, I don't want to say this roundabout way, because he was really talking about retaining players, making this a place that the best players in the country want to come to. You've got the money to do so now, and we're going to keep adding players. So I would be surprised if they don't obviously add players as a whole, but maybe along the defensive line a little bit as well. That's not a shot at those D linemen. Like, when I was in the NFL, if they drafted a guy, guess what? Hey, our unit should be better, and the competition just went higher, so my play has got to get better. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I viewed it, and that's how I looked at it. Anything else off the text line there, Jake?
I don't know, just that, yeah, that con was all sounds pretty hollow to me, guys. We literally don't have a running back, too, because we didn't have money to pay for it. It just doesn't add up. They keep pumping sunshine about how well we are set up financially. I just don't believe that.
Dude, he's talking, like, now. Now. He's talking about now. Now you guys have got me doubting it too. But he is. He's talking about now. He wasn't even talking about 2 months ago. Like, I think when that extension was signed, I think a lot of it was dictated on how he felt about the financial situation, the ability to keep coaches. He doesn't want three coordinators. Like, he wants to keep Dana. He wants to keep Eckler. He wants to keep Butler. He wants to keep the coaches. It was probably the moment that extension was signed was probably the real signal to Husker Nation. Matt Rhule feels much better about the financial situation. So even a week before that, probably a reason it wasn't signed yet. I don't know deets. I don't know all that stuff. But that's kind of my take on it. Let's see what I got here next. So he was asked why Emmett Johnson, I forgot about this when I was talking about it before the break, hasn't gotten more national hype. I think part of that is they're, you know, we beat Michigan. Your players are going to get more national hype because you beat a big brand on a national stage. This is my answer, not his yet. USC is the same thing. It's who you beat, what your win-loss record is. if you rush for 2,000 yards and you're on a team that has a losing record, you're just not going to get the same amount of pub as a guy whose team is 10-2, 11-1. It's just how it is. You're probably not on the big stage. Like, one thing that helped Emmett, albeit a late game, a lot of people saw that game on national TV. Like, that was a huge thing that was seen. If you're not seen, it's why it's harder for West Coast players, because now their games are so much later. As we just saw, that's not even a late game for a West Coast team, by the way. There's West Coast games that end at like 1, 2 in the morning. That was 11:30. That was actually before midnight. I was pleased with that, by the way. I tend to have a lot of late nights after Husker games, especially if they're night games. So I need my beauty rest, Jake. This doesn't come without a whole lot of work. Imagine if I didn't put work into it, how bad it would be. I got a face for radio, right, Jake?
I'll let you stay
there. You're not supposed to keep laughing. No, that's okay. But he basically kind of talked about preseason expectations. He threw out the word bias at one point, which I don't think he's trying to take a shot at anybody. I think it's fair. I spent about 5-10 minutes talking about SEC bias. You think there isn't a certain amount of bias towards what you were expected to do in the preseason versus you actually finally getting recognition? Again, if we beat Michigan early on, our players are going to be more nationally recognized, or USC or whatever. But when you don't win those games and then you have a national TV game on a Friday night versus Minnesota and it doesn't go great, people are going to hold that against individual players when it comes to their recognition nationally, fair or unfair. And so I think all that's kind of taken a little bit longer when it comes to Emmett. Now it's coming. Let's see. Said we have the best blocking wideouts. NFL scouts are sending him tapes of their wide receivers blocking and telling him about how good they're blocking. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Said Dana Holgorsen is evolving with what he likes to call on offense play-wise. And I think we can all see that. I think there was a point where Dana was like, I can't assume we're going to protect our quarterback against anybody. Because a lot of the teams that had a lot of the sacks against us weren't high sack teams. Minnesota, 0 sacks combined before they played us in their previous 2 games combined. Then 9 against us. Michigan State, you know, what was that, 4 or 5 games into the season? 0 power 4 sacks. Was it 5 against us? Michigan had 7. Michigan's got some pass rushers. But then you go against Maryland, who was number 1 in the Big Ten. They had 1 that day. You look at the past, what is that, 2 games combined? Is it 1 sack allowed since the Minnesota game? And Rule talked about how USC, you know, has athletes and they have pass rushers. And we have other teams who maybe weren't typically getting after the quarterback as much before they played us that had high sack numbers. And it's a lot of that's about Dana kind of like, all right, this is what works. This is what doesn't. I remember after the Minnesota game, Matt Rule said, we have to call what works, not what we want to call. And I think there was an evolution to the play calling. And Dana said before in the preseason, he said, what the game plan is, the first part of the season might be different than the next 4 games, might be different than the next 2-3 games. And I think we've seen that play out. He was almost prophetic with that. And there's a learning and a growing and evolving process with that. Matt Rule says Elijah Pritchett has played really well. You pointed that out early on. He's played much better these past few games.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Says recently they've wanted to come out and establish the run early on. I think that is easy to see. That is clearly something they wanted to do, is establish the run early on these past few games, ever since the Minnesota game. It has been very obvious. Emmett Johnson is actually, you know how many times he's touched the ball in the past 3 games combined? Do you have a guess?
95?
It carried it 84 times.
84. Carries, yeah.
All right. He did openly talk about the fact that Emma Johnson may go to the NFL a couple of times. All right. What are your thoughts on that real quick? And we'll see how the rest of the year plays out. He's going to be a good NFL back. If you were, like Emmett picks up the phone, he calls Bad News Bach. Now, he doesn't call Bad News Bach because he wants good news, but not bad news. But he calls Jake Bachman. Jake, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should go this year? Do you think I should go next year? What would you say to him?
I mean, obviously, he's got to get the evaluation. Right now, Mel Kiper's got him eighth. You want to make sure that that aligns with how pro teams have you. Unfortunately, and Matt Rhule kind of said it, didn't want to say, you know, too much. But if you're running back, you're this high. I mean, you're one of the 13 Maxwell Award semifinalists. I don't know if there's a whole lot more you can do as far as making you a bad. I mean, you could say go from the eighth rated guy to the first rated guy. But sometimes in evaluating these guys, going from a junior to a senior, another year, a lot more carries, especially for a running back. You know, I would probably tell him I'm enjoying this. I'll split it this way. I'm enjoying this run as if it's his last, because I think it'll probably be best, as it is for the running back position, to go in when you're hot without, as you know, more miles on your tires.
So that's absolutely one way to look at it. Like, the running back shelf life is probably the shortest shelf life of any position in football. It just is what it is, which is interesting because he was asked about Emmett's durability and he said he doesn't take a lot of big shots. Matt Rhule said Emmett Johnson's superpower is that he makes people miss, so he doesn't take a lot of direct shots. Now, to be clear, I have made this comparison in the past and I will clarify again. I'm not saying he's Emmett Smith. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is when I watch Emmett Johnson, Emmett Smith had ridiculous jump cuts. So does Emmett Johnson. He had insane balance. So does Emmett Johnson. He tends to find holes where I didn't know they were even there until I slowed down the film to about 1/10 the speed, but he's doing it in real time. Emmett Smith. Now, Emmett ran behind one of the greatest offensive lines, the Great Wall of Dallas, if not the greatest in NFL history. Multiple Pro Bowlers, couple of Hall of Famers. But Emmett, and I'll point this out again, in 93, after they won the 92 Super Bowl, he held out. Him and Jerry Jones couldn't get along. Micah Parsons might know something about this. And he held out the first two games. The Cowboys started 0-2. He came back for game three. They never lost again, including the Super Bowl the rest of the year. So he obviously had an impact. Part of that was the rookie backup running back they had was not ready to play at all. And if you watch those first two games again or just highlights, it's rough. My point is Emmett Smith was not the biggest dude. He was not the fastest. He was not the strongest. And he rarely ever took direct hits. He has one of the longest careers an NFL running back's ever had. Again, I'm not saying Emmett Johnson is Emmett Smith or he will or won't have a long career in the NFL. I actually think he will, but I don't know. When I watch him run, there's a lot of similarities. Not the biggest, not the fastest, not the strongest, just doesn't go down and just really freaking good. Can catch the ball out of the backfield, can find holes and make people miss, and doesn't take direct hits. Like when Rhule was saying this, I was like, it's more that guy with the star in his helmet from decades ago. You know, they were actually my favorite team when I was a kid. Now they're my least favorite team. I ever tell you that quick story?
Huh.
Really quick. They were my favorite team growing up. Again, I was born in Hastings, but grew up in the state of Washington. My dad's job took him up there, so that's where I grew up. And this was when, like, the Bills played in four straight Super Bowls. You know, the Giants beat them. The Redskins dominated them. The Cowboys beat them back-to-back. But the Cowboys became my favorite team, especially when I've talked about my favorite NFL player at the time was Deion Sanders. Okay. Joined the team. And so all the way up until my rookie year, and, you know, I really got into college football a lot more as I got older, especially when I was in college football for obvious reasons. But my rookie year, we go play at the old hole in the roof, not Jerry World, the old hole in the roof stadium. And I don't know why. I just walked out of there absolutely loathing and hating them that day. And I've really, really disliked them ever since. And then you go play for the Redskins, and that's the creme de la creme of their rivals. Like, it is Dallas, and it is Washington, and that is their rival. And it just fed perfectly into how I felt. So for me to talk about Emmett, I'm truly giving my honest opinion because I don't want to give Cowboys shine in any way, shape, or form. I'm talking about Emmett Smith. But with Emmett Johnson, he just has that ability to make people miss, doesn't take direct hits, and there's a lot of similarities in the running style. So there's a short shelf life. But this could actually help Emmett Johnson have a longer NFL career because he's obviously going to have an NFL career. I believe he's going to have a good one, but it could help him do it a little bit longer. There's an argument to be made, short shelf life, go when you're hot. There's another argument to be made where maybe another offseason in the weight room. can you put on 10 pounds and maintain your speed? Or maybe if you don't put on any weight, maybe just get a little bit faster, but maintain your weight. Like, how plausible is that at this point? But because that's an argument that could be made. Because when you listen to national pundits, like, I think Emmett's a rock star. I sat here and pounded the table for him a year ago. Why isn't he playing more? Now I'm like loving like the fact that he's getting this recognition. Plus, he's just a genuine good human being. Like, he really is. How do you not root for a guy like this, especially if you get to know him a little bit? But national pundits, sometimes they'll use the word smaller back when referring to him. And so I can't help but wonder if another offseason of, he's a great back already, but physical development might make him more appealing and up his draft stock. Like, he's going to be drafted, probably fairly high, but up it even more. Because if you're drafted, I'm just going to throw out a number, 40th, early second round versus 32nd, being the last pick of the first round versus the first pick of the second round, let alone eight picks later, that's millions of dollars of difference. I'm just saying, it's something to ponder. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be an argument to be made there. And then obviously NIL age, you maybe can match what you can that rookie year. A lot of though, it'd be a lot. But the other thing is that second contract in the NFL, you're putting that off, you know, another year.
You make a great point about NIL. Like, Deshaun Singleton was training to go to the NFL. He's back now. NIL had to be a part of that. You look at Carson Beck. He was going to the NFL, came back to Miami. You can argue whether Miami fans are happy or not, but he came back because of NIL. NIL plays a huge part in this now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.